So the first thing I wanted to mention is that I have a new baby at home, so I haven't been getting a lot of sleep, so forgive me if I flub any details or anything like that. Thank you. Yeah, it was my birthday yesterday. He woke me up at 5 in the morning to make sure I can enjoy my hangover properly. I'd like to talk about the classification of nuclear C-star algebras and their classifiability, because it's not always clear that they can be classified. Some preliminaries. For the purpose of this talk, A will be simple unital nuclear C-star algebra. And I'll denote by ELL of A the Elliott invariant, which I guess consists of a pre-ordered, and in the case of stably finite C-star algebra, an actual ordered abelian group K-star. K-star is just the sum of the K0 and K1 groups, and there's an order structure you can put on here, which in most cases that gets studied regularly is simply the strict order, which is inherited from an order structure on K0. So in space of positive normalized traces, the K0 class of a unit of A and a pairing R sub A of between the traces and K0 elements, which just amounts to evaluation. And we'll say let D be a collection of C star algebras. And say D is classified by the Elliott invariant if for all A, B, D with a theta from the Elliott invariant of A, the Elliott invariant of B, isomorphism. And here, yes, deserves a little explanation. So morphisms for the Elliott invariant are sort of the obvious, so affine maps between the tracial spaces and unit preserving and abelian ordered group homomorphisms, which are compatible in a suitable sense, this pairing R of A. But if you have an isomorphism between the invariants, then there exists a star isomorphism, say theta bar A B, I guess, which induces original. So it's a little more than just saying that whenever the invariants are isomorphic, the algebras are isomorphic. You also list the particular isomorphism. So what sort of collections can you have that are classified? Well, there are lots. I mean, D, this works in many cases. D can be the AF algebras, and you don't even need the entire invariant. Here you can have purely infinite C-star algebra, simple nuclear C-star algebras, and the one that I want to make special mention of right now, AH algebras of slow, what's called slow dimension growth. Okay, so all three of these, I'll explain this in a second, all three of these are classified by the Elliott invariant in this sense. AH, Well, this is just an inductive limit. The building blocks. Of this form, so there is a direct sum, I equals 1 to n, say, at m, c of x, y, so you take, so basically these are compressions of commutative algebra's tensor with the compact. So an approximately homogeneous algebra is an inductive limit of these, and here the these are called approximately homogeneous because every irreducible representation of this algebra, for instance, has a dimension equal to the dimension of Pi, so the homogeneous dimension. And if you have, so if dimension, the Xi, grows slowly, with respect to dimension of Pi. Well, this is this so-called slow dimension growth. How slow? Slow. That's so important. But if you only have say one connected space here and no direct sums, then you would have at least this is sort of asymptotically 1 over I cubed, something like that. Anyways, it's not so important, but it is important for the classification theorem that you have slow dimension growth in order to get that the simple unital AH algebras are classified. Anyway, so for some time it wasn't known whether, you know, I mean, whether you could have something that wasn't slow dimension growth. So in 1997, Villison showed that there's sort of the, he showed that in fact that there exists a simple unital H algebra with what's called a perforated ordered K0 group. So what does perforated mean? Well, if you have an ordered group, so if so G plus an ordered group, is perforated, or sometimes you say strongly perforated, if there exists some x which is not positive. Well, I could sum up by simply saying that perforation in the ordered K0 group is a property which can only happen in an AH algebra which has fast dimension growth, which doesn't have this property. So I guess the important thing, yeah, is that he proved that there are fast dimension growth algebras.
I suppose my question was, are you going to be talking about perforation?
So we can leave it at that. So I could just say this has fast dimension growth. And he produced some other examples which had, I mean, there are other symptoms of fast dimension growth. One of them is higher stable rank. So he also produced some examples of simple unital AH algebras that had stable rank equal to any given natural number greater than 1. So there were a few examples around then of fast dimension growth feature algebras.
Maybe I can guess why you didn't want to just stick entirely with this dimension growth terminology. This is not somehow an intrinsic variant of the algebra. I mean, it's almost it's even a little ambiguous because it might be slow in one representation, in one description, and then fast in another.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could write a good point. So you can write an AF algebra as, say M2. You can have an inductive limit like this where the dimensions of the spaces grow very, very quickly, but the connecting maps are just point evaluations. So this isn't, you will get an AF algebra, but it doesn't appear on the surface to be a slow dimension growth. So, yeah, I mean, I guess fast dimension growth means there is no way to write it as a slow dimension growth algebra, but it's not a very good definition. Okay. So, the question, of course, then, is whether you can classify algebras like this. So as far as the AH fast dimension growth case goes, there are no counterexamples to date. But if you look at what are called the ASH algebras, AH no counterexample. But ASH, so approximately subhomogeneous, inductive limits of subalgebras of building blocks like this. Here we have a counterexample. And what we have is there exists A with stable rank of A, say, equal to, can be equal to an arbitrary, equal to N, we'll say greater than 2. And K star is ordered group is weakly unperforated. I haven't even explained what that is, but the fact is that you can get for any and in fact, you can get a whole family of algebras, A, where they all have the same, and so I should put N, or any N, and the stable, and the Elliott invariant of A, M, is isomorphic to the Elliott invariant of A. So, if you look at approximately subhomogeneous C-star algebras, then what you find is that the Elliott invariant doesn't capture the stable rank. Stable rank is sort of a non-commutative notion of dimension. Now, this wasn't, I should mention, this is not the first counterexample. So this is me, not so long ago, so 2002. But if you wrote them, I believe this is 2001, showed that there exists simple nuclear C-star algebra containing a finite and an infinite projection. In particular, this algebra that he discovered has the same invariant as a purely infinite C-star algebra, but of course it can't be isomorphic to it. So this was a prior counterexample. The difference between these two counterexamples is that this ASH counterexample, these are all stably finite. So this kind of lands more in the backyard of the classification results that we have so far. These C-star algebras are very poorly understood and look fairly intractable with respect to classification, at least so far. And the last thing I want to mention, that in the AH case, while there's no actual counterexample, there is some indication that there will be trouble. So, so if you have a classification result, any one of these three, and I think just about every other one I can think of, you also have that when you when you lift an isomorphism between the invariants to an isomorphism between the algebras, that lift is unique up to approximate unitary equivalence. So, and this actually plays quite an important role in proving these classification theorems, say, for two inductive limits. So if we have two inductive limits where the AIs and the BIs are drawn from a particular class of building block, and we know that there's an isomorphism at the level of the invariants in the limits. Well, what you do, and this is Eliot's original idea, is that you look at the invariants of the building blocks and you try and intertwine them. That is to say, you look at this picture and you try and find maps. So, which make this diagram commute. And in the case of the Eliot invariant, you can always do this, at least approximately. And then what you try to do is you take each one of these maps that you've constructed at the level of invariants, and you lift it to the level of algebras. If you are able to lift those maps, it's not enough just to be able to lift them to get isomorphism of the algebras. You have to be able to lift them in a manner which is unique. And the notion of uniqueness you want is this approximate unitary equivalence. So if you don't have uniqueness of isomorphisms, of automorphisms, up to approximate unitary equivalence for a particular class of C-star algebras, then you won't be able to use an argument like this to prove an isomorphism theorem. It doesn't mean there isn't one, but it will require new machinery. So in the AH case, what I've been able to show is that so there exists a simple AH algebra and an automorphism. Alpha of A, which induces the identity map on the Eliot invariant, and in fact, it induces the identity map on some finer invariants. On the Eliot invariant, on sometimes denoted D of A, so the semigroup of Murray von Neumann equivalence classes of projections, on another invariant, also I'll denote K bar of A, which is K theory with coefficients, so you can use coefficient groups of K theory, and this has been successful in proving some classification theorems for non-simple C-star algebras of real rank zero. It also induces the identity map, finally, on something that's just called Hausdorffized algebraic K1, which is a C-star algebra version of K1, which has been used for proving uniqueness of automorphisms for AT algebras. So you have this simple AH algebra and an automorphism of the algebra, which induces the identity map on basically on every invariant that has been useful for classification so far. Yet, alpha is not approximately unitarily equivalent. Yes, yeah, I mean, These are all the things. Well, I guess this one hasn't been used explicitly yet. The Murray von Neumann, same group from Murray von Neumann equivalence classes. Well, but all these other invariants, yes, have been used to get.
Imagine that they might come up in Werdenstrom.
Yeah, I mean, this one idea for classifying ROTEM's examples might be to look at this semi-group rather than K0, which is the enveloping growth and deep group. So alpha is not approximately unitarily equivalent to the identity map from A to A. Okay, so it means that if you were going to be able to classify AH algebras via some sort of intertwining argument, you would have to find there must be something we're missing. There must be another invariant or more information there. Okay, so that's kind of the not so great news, but a little more optimistic note, maybe you ask, you know, is there anything that all of these poorly behaved algebras have in common that the ones we were able to classify didn't have as a property? So I want to talk about, so in 95, Zhang, Su, and independently Elliot. Show that there exists a simple unital nuclear infinite dimensional C star algebra, which they call Z, such that the Elliott invariant of Z is in fact the same as the Elliott invariant of the complex numbers. So you might say, well, this seems like much earlier. Sorry? Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if, as I understand it, you. Yeah, these ones have been classified anyway. Well, this is what I was going to say, is that although, you know, this appears to be a counterexample, we have an infinite dimensional algebra, so it's not isomorphic to the complex numbers, it has the same Elliott invariant. The reason this wasn't considered to be much of a problem is that, well, we've classified the finite dimensional C star algebras, and this algebra Z belongs to a much larger class of inductive limits, which are very well behaved with respect to the Elliott invariant. So at this point, it seemed fair to just say, well, we have to distinguish at the very least between finite dimensional and infinite dimensional C star algebras. Anyhow, Z, as it turns out, or Z, is even a little bit more like the complex numbers than you might think. So it has what sort of properties? Well, there's this well-known theorem. If you tensor with the complex numbers, you don't get anything different back. What about tensoring with this algebra Z? Said, do you get A back again? Well, Z is an ASH, approximately sub-homogeneous C-star algebra. So in general, I mean, on the surface, you wouldn't expect that, say, tensoring Z with an AF algebra would give you an AF algebra again. But as it turns out, it does. So this statement is, this is true for AF if they are simple and infinite dimensional. It's also true for purely infinite C-star algebras. And these two facts were proved along with the construction of this algebra. Yeah.
Any purely infinite.
So any purely infinite.
Have to assume approximately divisible or anything like that.
Sorry, no. I mean, any Kirchberg-Phillips is sort of purely infinite. Any class of from the.
When you say purely infinite, you mean
the Kirchberg algebra? Yeah. Say that. Yeah, these are.
No, because tensor with all infinity is that you don't Well, if you tensor it with old infinity, you get old infinity back. You like,
Z does behave a little bit like the complex numbers for some well-behaved classified algorithm. If you ask the same question for these counterexamples, and in fact, if you ask the same question about Villardson's examples with perforated order K0 groups are stable, right? The answer is no, that none of them are Z stable. One thing you can see right away if you look at the construction of Z is that if you have an ASH algebra and you tensor it with Z, then you get an ASH algebra which has a very slow dimension growth. So Z, if it went applied to AH and ASH algebras, basically cures any dimension growth problems you might have without affecting the Elliott invariant. The Elliott invariant of A tensors Z is isomorphic to the Elliott invariant of A whenever A has weakly unperforated K star group. So this has to be K star of A. Weakly unperforated. Okay, so you have to wonder a little bit if maybe algebras which absorb Z tensorially might not be a good class to look at for classification in general. So because of this fact here, of course, I mean, if you have some algebra which does not absorb Z tensorially, then you immediately have a counterexample. So the Z stable, okay, so we say any algebra that has this property is Z stable. The Z stable simple nuclear phi star algebras, which have weakly unperforated, which will have weakly unperforated K star. This is going to be, if it's a classifiable class via the Elliott invariant, it will be best possible. It will be the largest such among simple nuclear phi star algebras that have weakly unperforated K star group. So this would be as good as it gets. This would be a maximal class, this kind of algebra.
What can you say about
all that we know so far is that this is unique amongst inductive limits of the particular building blocks to consider. So basically, no, we don't have any sort of serious uniqueness.
So you don't manage to get the K theory, right? In the examples up here where you have large stable events, you don't have the K theory as well to just the integers.
Yeah, actually you do. But you have a much more complicated K1, and you have some traces too. You don't have a unique trace.
And also those algebras not AH algebras, right?
These algebras are not AH algebras. They're ASH, approximately subhomogeneous. So if you look at the Z-stable simple nuclear C-star algebras, there's some positive indicators. So if A is ASH and Z-stable, then you have slow dimension growth. This has generally been a useful property. If A is Z-stable, this implies that A is either purely infinite in the sense mentioned before, or stably finite. So it's not just Rodin's one example that is not stable. It's the whole class of algebra is there. So, and of course these are the two classes in which it had success, classification. If A is as stable, then I guess the stable rank of A is either infinite in the case of purely infinite algebra, or less than or equal to 2 in the case of the stably finite piece of algebra. Now, I suspect, many people suspect that this is, can in fact improve this to be the stable rank is either infinite or it's 1, but we haven't had success with that yet. If you could show that it's 1, then that combined with other fact that stable implies K star A is weakly unperforated stable rank 1 and K star being weakly unperforated are two properties that every classified simple nuclear C star algebra share, and sometimes been put forward as being maybe what you need in order to get classification. So these are the things it has going for it. And we know that, for instance, the AF ones, when they're simple and infinite dimensional, and the purely infinite ones, absorbs it. So what about the slow dimension of AH algebras? Well, joint with Wilhelm Winter, Münster.
Are all four of those statements from the same footing?
Yes.
The last one has been true.
Yes. What I've been working on with Wilhelm Winter is the following. So I have a draft for this, and I'd say we're about we're reading it over. So this would be about a 95% certainty, but I'll put a little star beside it. So what we are fairly certain we have is the following theorem: if A is simple nuclear unital and approximately divisible, then A is net stable. In particular, then you pick up the slow dimension growth AH algebras, which can also be described as being the tracially AI algebras, as I understand. So approximately divisible means you have a unital, so A approximately divisible, as there's a sequence of unital embeddings of M2 direct sum M3 to A. So these are unital embeddings. Such that they are asymptotically central. So these slow dimension growth AH algebras have this property, and so you get Z stability. So for most of the...
You mean any set here or this special one they
construct here? Oh, well, this special one that they construct there. I mean, I mentioned to Ken that there's nothing really known about the uniqueness of that, the algebra with that property. So this is just a... Yeah. No. So that means that the major successes of the classification program fall under, are in fact Z stable. So this suggests, I mean, one way of approaching classification is to do the sort of bottom-up approach. I mean, you build up a large class of examples, you try and show that they're classified by the Elliott invariant, and hopefully you also, in the process, exhaust the Elliott invariant through your construction. So you can say at the very least that now I have a maximal Elliott classifiable class of simple nuclear C-star algebras. And I guess looking at Z-stable C-star algebras would suggest going the other way. You know a priori that the Z-stable simple nuclear C-star algebras, if they're classifiable, are maximal such. And so, and since so many of the successes of the classification program are in fact Z-stable, it seems that it makes sense to consider them perhaps as the natural path for classification. So, and I'll finish up with some questions and some things unknown that would be really nice to know. So I mentioned earlier this example, you have an automorphism which is not determined uniquely by its action on the Elliott invariant. You might ask the same question. So, say let's call the Z stable simple nuclear C-star algebras. It's trivial that R is closed under taking minimal tensor products. It's also closed under direct sums. But so is R closed under inductive limits? Closely related to this question, do we have uniqueness? Up to approximate unitary equivalence. For star homomorphisms A to B, A to B, R, which agree on the Elliott invariant. And finally, you could ask things like, is this class closed under taking certain cross products? And I guess we heard from Christelis this morning that certain tracially AF algebras remain tracially AF after taking certain cross products. So there's some examples of some Z-stable C-star algebras which remain Z-stable after taking cross products. But in general, I don't know. And anything else you can think of. But that seems like enough for now for me. Well, thanks very much.